Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen on 1320 WILS. Well, we're paying more for our electricity, and that might not come as a surprise considering the cost of everything seems to increase over time. But one analyst says that the policies of the Environmental Protection Agency is the key reason why. To discuss that, I'm joined by Russ Harding, a senior environmental policy analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and the director of the center's Property Rights Network. He's also the former director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Welcome to the program, Russ.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Glad to be back.
I guess the first question is, how much more are we paying for our electricity now than we have in the past?
Well, on average, if you take across the entire United States, it's up to about $1,400 a year now. That's around $300 increase over the past several years. So that's substantial. You know, that's far more than the rate of inflation. So it's definitely noticeable, and I think many households probably notice that when they open their energy bill, that it continues to go up. You know, we're actually, it's interesting, as a nation, we've become more energy efficient, and we're tending to use less energy, but nonetheless, it's becoming, you know, per kilowatt, it's becoming more expensive.
Now, it's no secret that the part of the goal now with our energy production is to have cleaner energy, produce less pollution. Do you generally support that that goal?
Well, no, I think that is a good goal. In fact, you know, we've made great strides the past couple of decades of cleaning up the air. Our air quality is much better in Michigan and around the nation than it was, you know, 20 or 30 years ago. However, what we've seen recently out of the Environmental Protection Agency is sort of going beyond that. It's one thing to continue to have stricter standards, but what the regulations that recently have come from EPA have been really targeted at carbon dioxide, which is, you know, not a pollutant. They really targeted regulations that are making it extremely expensive to even build new clean coal plants, and so we're seeing more reliance on alternative energy, wind, and of course wind is not reliable, so they basically, when you have wind energy, you have to back it up with natural gas-fired power plants is what normally happens, and that's more expensive to use than coal.
So what's happening? Are the utilities forced to pay more money to upgrade their systems, and they're passing the cost along to customers?
Yeah, what happens, and you saw this recently, just a couple of weeks ago, Consumers Energy announced they're mothballing, I think, seven plants, older power plants in Michigan, coal plants, and they also are abandoning their desire to build a new one. They were going to build a new coal-fired power plant using the latest clean technology, and they decided not to do that, and the reason they've given is that the new EPA regulations just make it so extraordinarily expensive to use coal that they just can't make a business case for it, so they've abandoned that.
It's hard to imagine that the Obama administration would allow for regulations that would have a dramatically negative effect on the economy.
Well, what you say makes common sense, but that's not what's happening. And in fact, you know, some of these same approaches were discussed by Congress this past year when it was titled under the cap and trade bill. You may be familiar with that, and that did not end up passing Congress because the costs were extremely high, especially given the state of the economy and a real concern amongst Congress, even, you know, Democrats as well as Republicans, that it would make the United States less competitive and we would lose more jobs. And so they didn't pass that, but then lo and behold, in fact, President Obama said this publicly, that he was going to do it through administrative rules anyway, and that's exactly what's happening with EPA.
I'm talking to Russ Harding, a senior environmental policy analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, a director of the center's Property Rights Network, and a former director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Since you've worked in this area so closely, what is it that those that are setting these regulations, what is their premise here? Because I assume they're not looking to destroy the country economically. They do want to protect the environment. Is there not a line that they can kind of follow to make sure that there's a kind of a middle ground found in some of these policies?
Well, I think we have in the past, and I think that's where recent policy has departed, Mike. I think what we're seeing now, and I call it a sort of a war on energy, I think it's gone. It's more into ideology now than it is clean air, and it's they want to drive the change to alternative energy away from carbon-based energy sources. And so I think a lot of the policies you're seeing are really aimed at trying to force the markets to adopt alternative energy. The problem with that is it's much more expensive, and you have to have a reliable power source. And in the case of Michigan, that's moving away from coal to natural gas. And, you know, we're lucky, actually, right now. It could be worse than it is because natural gas has dropped in price due to the new technology of hydraulic fracturing, which has opened up new gas fields. But it remains to be seen, you know, how long that will remain. If you start replacing a lot of coal-fired power plants, is what appears to be happening with natural gas, you start sucking up vast amounts of natural gas to produce electricity, and many analysts feel that that's going to cause natural gas prices to increase again, which could exacerbate the problem.
Some would say that this is a growing pain. I mean, this is part of the process of moving into a new fuel source for our power plants, and that we just need to endure this period of time and we'll have a new system in place. Is that not a reasonable assertion?
I think that's wishful thinking. Anytime you try to use government mandates and subsidies to force the market changes, you know, I like to say it this way. We didn't run out of leave the Stone Age because we ran out of rocks. And we're not going to leave the petroleum age because we run out of petroleum. We'll leave it as other technologies become a better way to do it, become cost-effective. And so one of the concerns, too, it's just real practical beyond any of the ideology, is just power reliability. And that's becoming a huge concern because, again, these alternative sources like wind, particularly, say, wind in Michigan, are not reliable. And if you try to make that 60% of the electricity around the country comes from coal right now, it's about two-thirds in Michigan. And if you try to make that switch quickly, you're going to very likely end up with energy interruption. Now, officials from Consumers Energy told me that last summer when we had that heat wave, that they felt very fortunate because they had everything they had online at 110%, and they said if they would have had one hiccup in the system, our power grid would have went down.
It seems like we've turned our backs on using nuclear energy in a widespread fashion. I think we're not even really building plants anymore. Do you think this would be a reasonable way to go for a fairly, you know, environmentally safe, assuming there's no disaster, and predictable and robust energy?
Well, I'm a fan of nuclear. You know, when I was director of DEQ and spent a lot of my life as a regulator trying to protect the environment, I like it because it doesn't have emissions. It's great for clean air. The problem in this country, though, is that we have such a tough regulatory process that is exceedingly time-consuming and expensive to get a new nuclear plant. That's why you're not seeing them built. If you wanted to build a new nuclear plant today, you would be extremely fortunate if everything went right to maybe 10 years from now get the permit. And they are expensive, you know, from a capital perspective initially. The operating costs are favorable once they're built. So, you know, given the state of the economy around the world and money being tight, those are two things that are making the nuclear difficult. I think we as a country would be wise to make a concerted effort to try to overcome those obstacles, though, and simplify that process. You know, the new nuclear plants, you know, France, for example, gets 70% of its electricity from nuclear. Are much safer. I mean, we have to be intelligent about where we put them. You certainly don't want to put one on a San Andreas fault and that sort of thing, but we've got a lot of good locations, and, you know, we probably should be building several hundred of those around the country, and that would be great for clean air. If you're worried about global warming, which, you know, is another topic, but certainly you don't have the CO2 emissions with nuclear. So there's a lot of advantages, but, you know, right now it does not appear we're heading in that direction.
Russ Harding, Senior Environmental Policy Analyst at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, Director of the Center's Property Rights Network, and former Director of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Russ, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.